Give us a song, Mama Rahani, in the meanwhile. Where's everybody?
Yes,
you're here. Okay, fine. You're looking normal, yeah.
Indeed, I am looking, not as red as I was.
Well, you were the first time around, but let's not go there, okay.
So, Chair, you know, when you start meetings at 9 o'clock, there really should be better arrangements for coffee, so that we can be a little bit more...
I told you, my coach here doesn't agree. You know what? You can attend to your email. You can get floods of emails, right? When you get up in the morning, you dread opening your email box. So you have this person, that has nothing to do with the chair of select committee of what you call. Some person will contact you from Uppington and say, Comrade Karim, you know, the apostles, can you please help us? So on. So you can deal with that. But you know, my coach, she gets up at 4:30 in the morning. So she feels, oh, let's start at 9. Fine, let's go ahead. Let's not have that argument.
Okay, Jason, I want to start by not answering your question. And you know, when I first looked at my diary for this week, I was very angry with the chairpersons of our committees. And in fact, having discussed it, I realized that my anger is misdirected.
It always is.
We have a clash of programming again this morning, where in an hour's time we're supposed to be on a plenary.
Yes, don't we know? Yeah,
committee which is scheduled for the same time. And you know, that really gets my goat, because frankly, I like to participate as much as I can, and I think that plenaries are important. And so I was angry with the chairs, and then I realized it's actually not the fault of the chairs. It's actually this thing of having these extended ministerial briefings, which has created this problem, because the mornings are really supposed to be committee time. So I do want to implore, please, the people that sit on the programming committee to just continue to beat the drum, and I know that it has been beaten in the past, but the fact that mornings are for committee, afternoons are normally for plenary, and that's how we get to do our work. And I mean, this is why we've had these clashes recently, is because of the number of joint committees that we end up having with the National Assembly committees, and therefore in order to fit in with them, then we use the mornings, which causes clashes. So yeah, Jay, that's just my request, please, to, I think it's Mr. Njadu that sits on the programming committee, if he can make it known that it makes it incredibly difficult for us when we need to try and represent our constituents in plenary. But we have to be here on finance committee, because this is the engine room. This is where things really happen. So that's my opening diatribe, Chair. In terms of the process this morning, yeah, I think that obviously the other committees have had 2 days to bash theirs out. We probably don't have the same. I look forward to discussing the contents today. I'm not really fussed as how we go about it. As long as there's opportunity for discussion, then, you know, I'll leave that in your hands, Chairperson. I do want to make the point, though, that, you know, the discussion that we had at the beginning of this year, where we had those few days reviewing the role of the NCOP, etc., quite important. And what came out of there is that we, as the NCOP, really are responsible for legislation and the impact that it has on communities. Now, obviously, with Section 76 legislation, it's quite clear what our role is, and we see that with the rollout of the Division of Revenue, and it's very clear what our role is and how to go about doing it and so on. With Section 75 and 77 bills, it becomes a little bit trickier, and I suppose that this is where we have to review this kind of senatorial role, or this oversight role that we have. And do we have oversight over the National Assembly? Not really, we don't. But do we have oversight over the legislation that comes out of there? We absolutely do. I think the crafters of the Constitution clearly indicated that they understand that the National Assembly is going to be a more politically charged forum. and that the NCOP should be less politically charged, less ideologically aligned, and we should probably assess more the impact of legislation on communities. So not only on provinces, as in with the Section 76, but on Section 75 and 77 bills as well. So I think that should really be part of the focus that we drive going forward, is actually looking at the impact of legislation and legislational changes on the affected people throughout. But as to how we go about doing that, Chair, I'll leave it to you to guide us through the process and the discussion today.
Okay, can I just dispense with the first point very easily? I think it's 5 times that I have spoken with the House Chair and the Chief Whip. Not only I, but Comrade Dickelid, you'll recall that in one or two, maybe more than one, meeting of chairpersons, which happens every now and then to discuss programs and how far we've got with bills and so on and so on. I know one other chairperson feels very strongly about this clash. I did report back to you that we were told at one stage it's partly because of the change of cabinet meeting times. Cabinet committees used to meet like since 1994. I think we picked this up from the old order, different times. Originally it used to be 7 a.m. on Tuesdays, then when some of us got there, it became a bit later, 8 or something. And they had made some change. Then they related it to COVID, and I don't know what. But it's really something that you will recall. The last time you raised it, I said, can you raise it with your programming whip or your chief whip? I think it's Ms. Labuschagne. I'm asking other parties to do that as well. From my side, I don't know what more you want me to do. I don't know whether Dickelady wants to do something, but I don't know what to do. I can write yet another letter. So I agree with you. This clash is uncalled for. That time, the first time I raised it, I pointed out to them that if we had started the ministerial exchange at 2 p.m., we would have finished by 7 or thereabouts if you had allowed us to meet in the morning. Because your meeting got going in the plenary at 10, and it finished at about 2:30 or something, right? And if you add the number of hours, it was doable. If the ministerial thing was going to be a whole day thing, then it's asking too much of members to meet from 9 to 12, and then we have a lunch break, and then we may even start at 1 if you like, but then sitting for 8 hours is quite challenging, even if you're staring at your screen. Now, I was told, yeah, you're right, yeah, no, but these are the problems, and then I gave up. So I don't know what more you want me to do. It's like meaningless. They're going to say, yeah, but you raised us before. So this is a matter that Mr. Njadu and the programming committee needs to raise again. So I am all for what you are saying, and I think most of us are, since I spoke on behalf of both committees, I think, or one, I cannot recall. The chairperson, Dickelady, would have raised it too. And it has been raised at least by one other chairperson, maybe more, to say, look, it's not tenable. Ah, yes, I know one other committee chairperson whom I spoke with when she found me about some other matter. She also agreed, given the load she's got. But she also likes participating in the House. So, you know what I suggest you do? Raise it. Mr. Njadu will raise the programming committee because he's the key coordinator of the program in the NCOP. He's the right person, and he's a member of both of our committees, and I think we're mandating him to do that. But we also have Ms. Labuschagne in that committee. I don't know who represents the EFF, but maybe Mr. Molatsane wants to raise it with the EFF who are responsible for programs for his party. But I don't think there's any disagreement. So there we are, we're in agreement. Right, then over then to the team. Who's going to lead us?
Will the chairperson? I'll start.
Sorry, Esther, right, go ahead, Esther.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning.
Sorry, Esther, before you go on, are you and Pelalani going to share the time, or are you going to speak on behalf of both?
We will share the time.
All right. So how much of time do you want? We're not restricting you. We're just asking you so that we know how to manage the time as a whole. How much of time will both of you together take up?
An hour, maybe 30 minutes, 30 minutes.
30 minutes each?
Yes.
Okay. Go right ahead. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, members. Good morning, colleagues. I will take you through the presentation on the draft committee APA 2022-2023. And the presentation is structured as follows. First, I will introduce the purpose of this presentation, and then I will very briefly review the performance of the committee in the past 2 years, and then I'll move on to developing and adopting the draft APP guided by the instructions from the NCOP, which are basically key issues and priorities in the sector within which the committee operates, the bills that the committee need to prioritize, and the strategy for implementation, the tools and strategy for oversight, strategies to enhance public participation processes and cooperative government, and also the international agreements to be prioritized and monitored, if any. In terms of the introduction, the purpose of this presentation is to reflect on the committee's past performance in the past 2 years, to align the committee plans with the mandate of Parliament to develop and adopt the APP based on the following guidelines. So when the NCOP met in the workshop that we could not attend because of the clashes, the NCOP required its committees to reflect on past performance, to reassess priorities considering issues raised in the 2022 SONA, to decide on what should be achieved in the next 2 years, the remainder of the sixth term parliament, to consider the performance plans of portfolios, entities, and departments in their areas of responsibility, and align committee plans to the mandate of parliament, lawmaking, IGR, oversight, and public involvement. And in terms of the past performance, I will start off with bills. Just to reflect that we processed the annual MTDPS and national budget, fiscal framework and revenue proposals. And then we had an additional one in 2020, the special adjustment budget, which was basically about formalizing the tax relief bills, which were aimed at giving effect to government's COVID-19 response package. And then we processed the annual taxation bills, TLAP and the administration bill, the rates and monetary amounts and revenue loss. And we processed all other bills that were referred to us. Listed there, the disaster management tax relief amendment, SAB amendment bill, financial sector law amendment bill, and the auditing amendment bill. And then in terms of oversight, members will remember that at the beginning of the pandemic or in the middle, we had joint sittings and joint oversight with Standing Committee on Finance. Then we conducted oversight over national treasuries and its entities, the listed ones there, DBSA, Land Bank, EBA, SAS, SASRIA, and CBDA. And we followed up on recommendations made in the reports with National Treasury, SARS, and also PBO. We have had briefings on progress with implementation of the ERRP, the economic impact of July 2021 unrest, and PBO briefed us on the key challenges in ensuring growth. We had a briefing on cryptocurrency issues, and we had a briefing by the Reserve Bank on economic performance and outlook. It was in the beginning of the term. And then in terms of public participation, I'm just highlighting that we do public hearings for all bills referred to the committee, which I've mentioned in the previous slide. We've engaged with National Treasury, SARS and Reserve Bank, and we have engaged stakeholders through public hearings, meetings, and we have reported accordingly. With regards to international agreements, in the past 2 years or since the sixth parliament, there were no referrals of international agreements. I'm saying here there might be referrals in the remaining 2 years, because normally the international agreements, they expire at the same time, either after 5 years, 10 in some instances. So in the maybe the last year of the term, we might be flooded with international agreements that would need to be ratified. So I'm just flagging that there. And then we will process them as and when they are referred. Regarding IGR, the committee normally invites the provincial legislatures to be part of our MTBPS and national budget processes. But other than that, maybe the committee can discuss some more on how can we improve on this area. In terms of capacity building, we had a workshop on Money Bills Act by PBO and the legal services on the mandate of the committee. We had an induction at the in Pretoria with National Treasury, Reserve Bank and SARS. And then we receive regular research and policy briefs and legal briefs and presentations from the PBO and FFC. In terms of the key issues, now I'm moving to developing the 2022-23 APP. Just in terms of the background to say that we should be guided by the principles of the NDP, the SONA, mandate of parliament and mandate of the committee. And just briefly, the objective of the NDP is to grow the economy, eradicate poverty and increase employment and reduce inequality by 2030. And then reflecting briefly also on the SONA priorities, there's some more in the bigger document, but I've just picked this ones, which I thought were more relevant to our committee. Employment stimulus to create jobs and address structural constraints to growth. And these constraints include broadband, addressing inefficiencies at the ports, addressing energy sector challenges, unlocking tourism potential, and improving support to SMMEs. And then it is expected that addressing these constraints will unlock investment, increase competitiveness, and stimulate economic growth. The mandate of Parliament to which the committee must align its plans are lawmaking, IGR oversight, and public involvement. And as a committee of finance, we were established in terms of the Money Bills Act, which requires that the committee reports on the national macroeconomic fiscal policy and amendments to the fiscal framework and revenue proposals and the bills, as well as actual revenue published by the National Treasury. And then on issues of issues in the sector, I will not spend much time here because we have just adopted the fiscal framework and much of the information in this slide and the next one is coming. It's based on the discussions we had. But just to say, the same way as the IMF revised growth forecast downwards due to the risk of re-emergence of new COVID-19 variants, the South African economy also was, the forecasts were downgraded and growth is expected to decline to 1.8% over the medium term. And just highlighting the risks to the outlook are significant. And this was before the war in Russia and Ukraine, which is going to, amongst other things, affect prices across the board. In terms of the labor market, I'm flagging that the economy continues to shed jobs at a faster rate. The rate of unemployment measured 34.9% in the third quarter. this is the narrow definition. If you take the expanded definition, which includes discouraged work seekers, for example, the percentage goes to 46.6%. And then the number of employed persons decreased by 660,000 to 14.3 million. The effects are more severe for low-skilled workers, and that is depending existing inequalities across age, gender, education, and race. With regards to poverty and inequality, measured by the Gini coefficient of 0.68, South Africa remains one of the most unequal societies in the world. And this is according to the DPME. The Gini coefficient is normally measured after every 5 years. So the 0.68 is for between 2013-14 and 2017-2018. With regards to poverty levels, they remain high, but the social grants are helping to reduce the number of people living below the poverty levels. With respect to monetary policy, I'm indicating that the Reserve Bank has started tightening the monetary policy, increasing the interest rates by a cumulative 50 basis points in January 2022, and it is expected that more increases will come in this year as the Monetary Policy Committee meets. The headline CPI now measures 4.4%. It's expected to remain within the target range of 3-6% over the medium term, but the risks to the outlook are assessed to be on the upside due to increase in prices of everything. And according to the Reserve Bank, better anchored expectations of future inflation requires a prudent public debt level, increasing supply of energy and keeping wage growth in line with productivity. With regards to fiscal policy, I think members are familiar with those numbers now. In summary, I'm just saying that the South African economy remains stagnant. The economy continues to shed jobs, and the risks to the economic and fiscal outlook are significant, and they should be monitored quarterly. And then moving on to the bills and strategies for implementation. In the current financial year, there are standing items that the committee does every year. The bills, the taxation bills we are familiar with now, it's an annual process. Same with the MTDPS and the national budget. And we will continue to process all other bills to be referred. The bills that I have mentioned here, I think in one of the presentations that National Treasury did, was that they will bring the coffee bill. And then these other bills, I saw them from the National Treasury website. They may be referred to us. I'm just highlighting that. I'm not so sure of which ones will be referred this year, but we will process them as they are referred. In terms of strategies for implementation of bills, I think the committee has agreed that we will meet with the NA committees on bills where appropriate. We will also meet with public hearings, but once the NA committee start processing a bill, the NCOP will not sit with them jointly. And I'm also indicating that we need sufficient time to process the bills. And the committee, I think, resolved that they will engage with the Minister of Finance to consider tabling money bills earlier. And then this is the area that we can also discuss. Oversight tools and strategies. In terms of oversight, we'll continue to oversee National Treasury and its entities. We'll get briefings as usual from National Treasury, and some of these entities we have met with them. We have engaged with them more than once, like the Land Bank, I think EBA and DBSA. We'll consider some more in the current financial year. Then we will monitor SARS overall performance. We will follow up on recommendations made, and we will request briefings on progress made with implementation of the bills passed to determine whether these bills are achieving intended policy objectives. I think this I took from the NCOP guidelines. So I'm just giving examples of the bills that the committee passed here, the Employment Tax Incentive, the Financial Sector Regulation Act, and the Sugar Tax Act. And yeah, this is also an opportunity for the committee to discuss further on issues of oversight. And the committee can also discuss oversight, fiscal oversight as well. In terms of strategies for public participation, I'm flagging that we need sufficient time to engage with the public, to get public comments. And the committee can consider public participation beyond just formal public hearings. I think this is an old effect matter there. And we will cooperate and collaborate with relevant parliament committees on related matters and bills. And I think one of the chairpersons mentioned this one during the fiscal framework processing, that the committee should consider placing advertisements for public hearings in a wider range of media houses, including community radio stations and newspapers, and consider using technology to improve public participation. And yeah, it can be discussed further. On international participation, I think I've already spoken to this slide, that there were no referrals, but when, as and when they are referred, we will process them. And on cooperative governance and IGR, the NCOP was asking the committees, how will the committees cooperate and collaborate with other spheres of government and other entities on matters of common interest and ensure cooperative and sound international relations? Yeah, this is the point for discussion as well. We can give input here and we will update the strategic planning document. Lastly, on capacity building, just saying that the committee will continuously capacitate itself to effectively deliver on its mandate. I put question marks at the end just for the committee to think about that. I think, Mr. Ryder, you recommended a follow-up visit to similar to the induction that we had, and maybe it can be done virtually, and a briefing by SARS on international agreement, because this in the sixth parliament, members have not dealt with international agreements. This one, the follow-up on discussion on taxation and financial sector issues, was proposed by the National Treasury that they should come and brief the committee on taxation issues as part of, I wouldn't say the induction while we are halfway through the term. Yeah, as part of capacity building maybe. And then we will continue to receive regular presentations from the PBO, from the research, from the legal services and support team in general. And yeah, if there are more points to discuss here or recommendations, then yeah, the committee will also discuss that. That was the end. Thank you.
So you're done. Okay. And then Telalani is coming in now.
Morning, Chair. Morning, colleagues.
Hi.
Once again, can I share my screen?
Yeah.
Thank you. Yes, Chair. Thank you very much, Chair, for for the opportunity to present this revised APP for the Appropriations Committee. Chair, this presentation zoomed into the most critical issues that are flagged or reflected on the revised APP for members to deliberate and take into account. By way of background and introduction, Chair, we believe that, Chair, the strategic planning review gives members an opportunity to pause, reflect, and start a conversation around redirecting the energy and effort of the committee for the new financial year. It also allows members an opportunity to take stock around performance of the committee for the year under review. It is for this reason, Chair, that this presentation also provides a recap on committee focus areas for the year 2021-22, the achievements for the same year, challenges, as well as the proposed key focus areas for the new financial year. Chair, please note that the revised APP document has been shared with members for their input and adoption, after which it will be shared or submitted to the Office of the House Chairperson in the NCOP. This is parliamentary strategic outcomes, which I'm not going to go through because they are fair standard, they do not change. These strategic outcomes also translate or cascade down to the strategic goal of the committee, which is also straightforward. Then the mandate of the committee, which is also very standard. It doesn't change as long as the Manipulators Act has not yet been amended. It remains the same. So members are quite familiar with these particular bullet points. So Chair, in reviewing the APP of the committee, we have looked at some of the key documents that give us some sort of a direction on what are the key issues that the committee going forward will need to look at. Part of this document was the policy priorities emanating in SONA 2022, which was presented by the State President. It was the recovery plan, the aims of government recovery plan, which was also presented by the President in the last year. The policy priorities from SONA indicated that the government intends defeating COVID-19. Accelerate economic recovery through implementing the recovery plan, implement economic reforms to create sustainable jobs and drive inclusive growth, and finally to fight corruption and strengthen the state capacity. So our APP should be aligned to that, to those particular policy priorities. Some of the recap on the issues that the committee had agreed to focus on in the last year are as follows. To process all money bills, including special appropriations bills tabled by National Treasury. To conduct in-year monitoring oversight with specific focus on conditional grant spending and performance through Section 32, Report of the Public Finance Management Act, and Section 71, Report of the Municipal Finance Management Act. To organize workshops for committee as part of capacity building for both members and support staff, to continue with the implementation of resolution tracking mechanism to follow up on the implementation of committee recommendation. The committee was going to continue to engage its strategic partners such as Financial and Fiscal Commission, FFC, the South African Local Government, FALGA, Parliamentary Budget Office, PBO, as well as other civil society organizations. This engagement happens during the deliberation on the bills that are tabled by National Treasury. The continuous implementation of Section 32 of the Constitution, which requires the committee to facilitate public participation during legislative process. Of note, Chair, was that there was no project visit or oversight visit and study tour planned due to COVID-19 and pandemic. And lockdown restrictions. And Chair, what was achieved during the year under review? Just Just a second. Trying to. Okay. Okay, what was achieved, Chair? Beginning of the year, Chair, there was a question that came from committee members, Chair, if you'll recall, as to whether National Treasury or the executive does take into account the NCOP committee recommendations when making policy decisions. We have, Chair, identified some key issues, or policy issues rather, that have been tabled during the recent budget, where the committee had made recommendations, just to demonstrate to members that indeed the executive do take into account the recommendations of the committee, particularly in the NCOP when making policy decisions. The extension, for instance, the extension of the social distress grant, relief grant, has been extended. The committee has made several recommendations with regard to this. Local government allocation above inflation has been also implemented. The committee had made a recommendation around this issue. The movement of early childhood development grants from social development to basic education, the committee had also made a recommendation around this, and the committee has been persistent on this recommendation for the two departments to fast track the process, and indeed the process has been concluded. The increased allocation to rural provinces and municipalities, the committee has been very firm in actually insisting that rural provinces and municipalities do get more resources, even though they are not enough, but at least something has happened. We've seen in the recent digital revenue bill that has been tabled that there's been a shift of allocating more resources into rural provinces and municipalities, which is a welcome move. So the Chair, these were just few of many other issues that we could identify, but just as a way of demonstrating that indeed the work of the committee is making an impact in policy decisions of the executive. And Chair, the bills were processed. The Unit Revenue Bill, Appropriations Bill, including Special Appropriations Bill, were processed in 2021. There was a visual oversight meeting that was held with the Provincial Education to discuss spending and performance of certain conditional grants. There was a workshop to discuss the structure of equitable shareholding provinces and local governments, which answered some of the questions that members might have had in the previous engagements. With regards to the MTPF 2021, the committee continued to process and adopted adjustment appropriations bills, division of revenue amendment bills within extremely tight time frames. The committee continued to process and adopt the FFC recommendations for the 2022-23 division of revenue. And the committee continued to ensure full compliance with Section 72 of the South African Constitution, which requires the NCOP, that the NCOP must facilitate public participation. The recommendation tracking mechanism report was produced and shared with members for follow-ups on recommendations, but also to track the implementation of those recommendations. That's a very important document that the colleagues will also share the recently updated one to members for the attention of members as the committee continue with the work. The committee chair continued. What are the proposed key focus areas for the new financial year? These include the followings: to continue processing all money bills as per the mandate of the committee and the legislation, which is Money Bills Act, that is Division of Revenue Bill, Appropriations Bills, and or Special Appropriations Bill. The committee is called upon to intensify oversight activities over conditional grant spending and performance by provinces, municipalities, and national on a quarterly basis through Section 22 report as well as Section 71 report. Chair, this is where the department, when the department are invited before the committee to account on their poor expenditure, where they need to present clear reasons and cause of under expenditure or over expenditure, but also specific remedial actions that will enable them to rectify or address some of the challenges that have led to poor expenditure. Chair, the norm that the committee uses is 25% expenditure per quarter, which all departments are required to meet. But I must also hasten to say, Chair, that some departments may have a different projection depending on their allocation. Sorry, there's a noise, Chair. That is... Okay. Yeah, Chair, I was saying that the committee uses 25%.
Yeah, I think I know who that is, but it's fine, it's sorted.
Okay. No, thank you very much, Chair. Chair, I was still saying that the committee uses 25% expenditure benchmark as norm for departments to assess and ascertain whether the expenditure is poor or not. However, I must also indicate, Chair, that some departments might actually come up with their own expenditure projection or expenditure benchmark, which is determined by the nature of allocation, conditional grant, the nature of transfer processes, whether or not they've met the requirements of the conditional grant framework on time, and many other issues. So it's important, Chair, that the committee put it at the back of its mind that the 25% is the norm, but it might not apply in other departments. Chair, during the oversight chair meetings, the committee needs to assess any possible fiscal dumping that might occur as a result of lack of spending on a quarterly basis, which might lead to fruitless expenditure, because when the year is about to end, departments begin to spend money wherever and however it is possible. And that does not mean that all that money is spent on the performance targets that were planned during the beginning of the year. And that every day create what we call misalignment between expenditure trends and performance target achieved. Parliament and provincial legislatures have been battling this area where you find that departments have spent 100% of their budget come at the end of the year when they table their annual performance report. But when you look at the performance target achieved, they have not met those targets. So the question is, the 100% expenditure, where has been spent when you have not met your targets? And where targets are met, we call upon the committee to also go beyond just looking at performance target being met and expenditure being met, but the impact, which Mr. Ryder has spoken about. The impact of those targets on the ground, how are those impacts translated into changing lives of the people on the ground? You look at, for instance, the Department of Water Affairs or any other infrastructure department, which might present a report, an annual report in the financial year, saying that we've delivered so much infrastructure to change the lives of the people, to make sure that communities have access to clean drinkable water. But when you go on the ground, is that infrastructure really able to deliver water to the people? You find water taps there without water coming out of it. You find plenty of dams, for instance, in Mpumalanga, in Mpopo, in KZN, where there are households that are situated around those dams, but they do not have access to clean drinkable water. So the question that the Appropriations Committee during its oversight that needs to juggle with is whether these performance targets are really translated into deliverables and change lives of the people. During the adjustment period or adjustment budget, Chair, there's always a confusion around under expenditure versus government savings. What we've picked up in the past is that when the departments or when government wants to move money from one program to another program, these terminologies get to be confused. So we ask the committee to actually look at this quite closely during the adjustment budget. The savings should remain a savings, the under expenditure should remain an under expenditure. Where there is no delivery that has taken place, that should be regarded as an expenditure, not a savings. Because Section 43 of the PFMA Chair speaks about moving or shifting savings from one program to another, not under expenditure. But because the adjustment budget, people are preoccupied with the movement of funds by all means, by all costs. These concepts get to be confused. So we are picking that up, and the committee needs to look at that during the adjustment budget. We are saying, Chair, the infrastructure project expenditure, Chair, is always difficult to measure using the 25% expenditure benchmark, as opposed to the new normal frontline programs, where you can actually spend, departments can actually spend 25% per quarter, and that can be measured. But with infrastructure, it's a different case altogether, because infrastructure projects have got their own project cycle, which determines their expenditure. They do not follow the normal S-curve of expenditure that other areas follow. So these are the things that the committee needs to put at the back of its mind as it conducts oversight, and also as we are going to be approaching site visits at some point. Local government has received 87.2 billion rand in the form of equitable share in the new financial year, 47 billion rand through conditional grants, and 15.3 billion rand from general levy, from levy sharing with metros. We are saying, Chair, these are the resources that are going to local government that we've seen the revenue bill, which the committee needs to strengthen its oversight on. However, some of the questions that the committee needs to ask is whether these resources will have an impact or much needed impact on the largely financially distressed municipalities that have been presented by FALGA. Whether these resources will have much needed impact on the municipalities which have largely adopted what we call unfunded mandates, and those that owe ESCOM and water boards. We are not downplaying the fact that municipalities are also owed by provincial and national governments, but we believe that the executive will need to come up with a process, clear process, on how to resolve these issues. I know that in the past, Treasury had put some measures in place to address this issue around ESCOM being owed and water boards, but up until now, we have not seen the results. In identifying some of the priorities that the new APP will need to focus on, we've consulted the legacy report of the Fifth Parliament, the AG's report, the size of conditional grant that the committee needs to prioritize, spending patterns, government priorities emanating from the MTSF, and also the impact of spending. It's very important. As you can see, Chair, that the health sector is on the top of the agenda, as per the SONA, where the president said the executive wants to defeat COVID-19, and health is the leading department in that particular fight. So we will have to identify some of the health conditional grants that the committee will have to focus on. Local government as a sector or as a sphere of government that is closest to the people on the ground, the committee has not had any oversight meeting with the local government or any municipalities. So we are putting it up there for the committee to consider going forward. Transport sector, human settlements, water sector, and many other infrastructure departments that may actually be aligned with the priorities of SONA. But for now, these are the departments, these are the sectors that we've considered for the new APP. One most important issue, Chair, that has came out very strongly during the recent deliberations of the committee with Treasury was around the shifting of schools backlog grant to education infrastructure grant. We have noted this issue, Chair, and we thought that, Chair, this might present an opportune time for the committee to call upon the Department of Public Education to actually present a status report on the school's backlog in the country, or the first report on inappropriate structures that currently exist in the country, so that the committee can have a full appreciation as to what has led to the idea of shifting the school's backlog grant into education infrastructure grant, and how the objectives and purposes of the backlog grant are going to be infused into education infrastructure grant. So we know that since 2009, when this program started, 2009-2010, Eastern Cape was the leading province around schools with inappropriate structures. There were about roughly 510 schools there. We know a number of schools have been built around that area, but to date, we have not seen any report around it. So that particular report, that particular engagement between the committee and basic education, then treasurer, can assist the committee to resolve on this matter before probably passing the review for the PPA. The other issue, Chair, also on this very same issue is that this school's backlog grant issue was a mandate of the national department. It was a program implemented by the national department. And now that this grant is going to be infused into education infrastructure grant, it is going to be now moved into the provincial education department. And we know some of our provinces, we've got issues around managing some of these finances. The committee, Chair, will still continue to ensure follow-ups on all oversight activities, including tracking the implementation of committee recommendations, as we do. Should ensure continuous capacity building for board members and support staff. Last year, we had a workshop in the NSOP called Budget and Fiscal Oversight. There was a workshop around SATEC, a workshop in Public Finance Management Act, and many other workshops that may come along. We believe that the committee should continue engaging strategic partners, PBO, FFC, SALGA during October and February. The legacy report, Chair, recommended that the four committees, which is appropriations and finance committees, should consider convening joint meetings together with the Public Enterprise Committee to call on all the SOEs who have received bailouts to account for all the funds they have received. Chair, we believe that this committee plays a very crucial role when it comes to passing those bailouts. And therefore, this committee cannot be a bystander when those bailouts are being spent and implemented. The committee needs to actually make time to, with other committees, to check whether those turnaround strategies that are being funded through those bailouts are really yielding results. Otherwise, they will come back for more bailouts. The legacy report again make a call that the committee should consider, the provisions committee should consider convening joint meetings together with the Committee on Cooperative Governance on a quarterly basis to monitor the performance of local government. We've already elevated the local government in as one of the priorities that the committee should look into. But as to the feasibility of the quarterly meeting, I'm not certain due to the time constraint that we've seen as part of the challenges in the NCOP. With regards to the increase in debt service cost, the four committees and operations committees should consider quarterly joint meetings, again, to monitor the fiscal position of the country. These are really the recommendations that the committee has not yet implemented, which are flowing from the legacy report of the Fifth Parliament. The committee, Chair, you'll remember that due to COVID-19 and lockdown restrictions, the committee had not had any oversight visit. So looking at the current situation, we are actually hoping that there will be site visits and also intensive study tour. We've also extracted some of the issues that we would like members to consider in preparation for any site visit that the committee may identify going forward, some of the limitations, factors that may have on those site visits, budget constraint in Parliament is part of those constraints, part of those issues, When the committee has planned the site visit and identify areas where it will visit, then Parliament will come and say, no, there is no budget. It has happened in the past in some committees. It may still happen also in the future. So it's something that the committee needs to bear in mind. There's a tendency also of departments or agencies that are implementing those projects that are visited by the committee, not submitting information on time, which hampers the engagement between the department and the committee. There's also a tendency of capturing a committee by the implementing agents or department. For instance, when chair, the committee has decided on a specific project to be visited, and executive consent is not compatible with that particular visit, the department will tend to sway the committee into visiting other projects. So these are the issues that the committee needs to bear in mind. There's also a tendency of non-availability of senior officials from departments in question during the visit, where junior officials are sent on site, and therefore those guys can't answer questions from members. And again, it hinders the engagement between the committee in getting the correct answers around the challenges that are picked up on the site visit. Time constraints are always a challenge during time visit. That's why we end up having a congested program. And we something that the community will need to manage, because the more items you put on the oversight visit program, the lesser the impact you make. The lack of follow-ups on oversight visit undertaken previously, Chair, is part of the issues that the committee needs to look at. Oversight visit undertaken in previously needs to be revisited so that you can actually see whether the recommendations and the issues that were raised in the previous bite have been resolved, so that the impact on the ground is actually felt. There's also a lack of collaboration approach between budget committees and sector committees. When I speak about budget committees, I mean finance and appropriations committees. While this collaboration might be working between appropriations and finance, but when you invite sector committees, some of the issues come into play, some dynamics come into play, issues around programming, misaligned programs, and many other elements that actually hampers the collaborative approach. Meanwhile, you need to actually enforce this particular collaborative so that, because the portfolio committees or sector committees rather, have more knowledge around the policy of the sector. Meanwhile, the appropriations committees got more knowledge around the allocations and expenses, finances. So the combination of the two actually provides some sort of a synergy in that particular oversight. There are general challenges here that we've also outlined, which affects the overall operation of the committee, the limited time in conducting in-year monitoring, as well as visiting project funded through conditional grant. The nature of the committee membership in the NSOP also creates oversight limitations, where you find that one member is rotating, is a member of about 3-4 committees at once. It is really a limitation that also hampers the effectiveness of the committee. We are saying there is a need for Parliament and provincial legislatures to afford it more time to process money in the case of the MTBS. We have had a challenge in the states around MTBS when there was time constraint, when the MTBS was postponed and presented later. So that's why we're making this point. It remains a challenge. Access to performance information to assess the alignment between conditional grant spending and performance target achieved remains a challenge. There's been consistent scheduling of the NCOP Committee Strategic Planning Annual Review immediately after the tabling of budget, when Appropriations Committee and Finance are busy with the processing of the budget bills. We're saying, Chair, this denies our members an opportunity to participate in the particular important session. Is OP's annual strategic plan being scheduled when Parliament's strategic plan has not yet been finalized? This is also an issue, because the strategic plan of Parliament is a key document where committees and other areas of Parliament should be taking a cue from. We are recommending the following: that in future the NSOP strategic planning takes into account the 5-year strategic planning and positive priorities of Parliament. We are saying, Chair, reporting period for committee activities should be based on the financial year, not on calendar year. And the SOP strategic planning session should also be aligned to the financial year and ensure that it does not clash with the budget process so that our members can also attend. We are saying, Chair, you need to encourage collaborative approach and sharing of information where necessary with our sector committees to follow up on specific sector issues and ensure that oversight visits to provinces are not duplicated. Chair, it's important for this collaboration that I spoke about again, once more, because the committee cannot focus on one area, keep on following up on one area. Some of the issues that the committee might be encountering can be followed up by the sector committees, as those committees are responsible for those specific sectors. Strengthening relations with the Auditor General Office, National Treasury, Provincial Treasury, Provincial Treasuries, and Provincial Monitoring and Evaluation Structures to provide performance information is also an important idea. There is a need to create more time to conduct in-year monitoring oversight activities, including visiting grant-funded projects, as I've said earlier on. And I believe, Chair, that if Parliament can spend more time on the ground looking at all these activities that are happening, projects that are implemented by government, you will start seeing a shift or less public protest on the ground. Because the public protests, some of them are emanating from people that do not have necessary information as to what is it that government is doing to address their issues. But when the parliament is visible on the ground, people will start seeing that something is happening. And some of the issues that are happening on the ground, parliament will be able to take them up with the executive. And necessary interventions will be taken on board. There's a need for both National Treasury and Parliament to jointly address the issues around time constraint when processing a budget, which impacts on both provincial and national parliament. The NCOP should consider the consolidated draft MTBS program of the four committees before scheduling its program, such as taking Parliament to the people, as this consolidated program is normally available months ahead of tabling of the MTBS. This is another program, Chair, that takes place during the MTBS process, which also denies our members to participate. And we think that since members of the committee are from provinces where some of these programs are being held, it is important for them to actually participate in this program. We also recommend that there is a need to intensify capacity building initiatives to empower both members and support staff. Chair, the message around this particular presentation is that the committee cannot pass budgets and walk away. Following the money is an important aspect. You pass the budget through the revenue bill, you pass the conditional grant through the revenue bill, but also we should make time and necessary time to make sure that that money is being followed through as to what is it that it does on the ground in changing the lives of the people, in ensuring that the triple challenge is being addressed, which is poverty, unemployment, and inequalities. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you. Right. Over then to members. Comments, contributions, questions. I don't see any hands up. Dennis. Yeah, who else? Only Dennis for now. Go for it. You can take up to half an hour if you like. Oh, there's two people. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair.
Half an hour, plenty of time. Well, Asana, you can have, let's make it 20 minutes each. Nobody wants to speak, okay?
Yeah, I'll be much briefer than that. Thank you very much. I think
so don't ever complain you don't get enough time.
No, you give me too much time when I don't need it and not enough when I do, but that's fine. That's how the game plays. Chair, thank you very much. And at the outset, I want to say well done. I think these are excellent strategic plan, draft plans that have been put together. And I think they cover most of the bases. There are a couple of things that I would like to mention, however. And I'm going to start with number one being the Auditor General. Chair, this is more aimed at the Appropriations Committee, I believe. And the fact is that we are, as the NCOP, very accountable for cooperative governance in the various spheres. Now, when the Auditor General provides their presentation to Parliament on the performance of local government, they present that to the Standing Committee on the Auditor General. And then they get to present the same information to us about 4 months later. That's historically how it's worked. And I think that that's garbage. As much as the Standing Committee on Auditor General has work to do, we also need to know from our point of view what the audit outcomes are. We need to respond to that quite rapidly. So I would like to and I haven't seen too much comment in the strat plan about dealing with the Auditor General and their outcomes. And here's the issue, chairpersons, is that we have local government in decline. And I think Mr. Dlomo's comments right there at the end are very important. We can't just budget and then sit back or pass budgets and sit back. We need to follow the money. So we have local government in decline. And yet we are not having oversight really over what they're doing. Now, I mean, we've seen the number of local governments with unfunded budgets increasing year on year. So, you know, we used to call that a Hail Mary budget, where you pray that something is going to happen. There's going to be some divine intervention in order for you to meet your financial commitments, because you're actually committing to things that you know you haven't got money to do. So I do believe that, firstly, we need the Auditor General to come and talk to us a lot more promptly so that we can react a little bit more promptly as well. But also, so that we are remaining with our finger on the pulse in terms of what's happening with the money that's being spent. The fact is that, you know, we are seeing local government in decline. And what I said right up front is that we have oversight over legislation. And we need to see what's happening when we or why the legislation that we've been implemented has specific impacts. So I think it might also be useful, and I think there was a kind of an indication to this that we need to talk more to local governments. So perhaps to a very poorly performing municipality and then to a very good or well-performing municipality, and just interrogate them and hear what their experiences are and how they feel that legislation, that budgeting, etc., could be improved to enhance the way that they're doing business. And I mean, I've been bashing on about the only 9% allocation to local government for the last 2 years. I do think that there are small moves to improve that, but you know, let's hear it from local government. Let's hear what they've got to say. And I think inviting a couple of municipalities to come and talk to us, and not as come to Parliament, we're going to hit you with a stick, but come to Parliament and tell us what your issues are. Help us to try and understand your problems a little bit better. So I'd like to possibly include some of that. I do believe that the conditional grant oversight, which was mentioned, is imperative. And I think that, we also need to have, example, the health departments. So the Gauteng Health Department at the moment in severe problems with food shortages at Baragwan. I mean, we're not yet to interrogate that. So, but the point is that they're in severe trouble and they're not paying their creditors. And we need to find out why. So it would be wonderful to have them come to Parliament to explain to us what their challenges are. We're giving them money. We're not changing the way we're giving them money, but it's not working. Something's not working. There's a problem in the system somewhere. What's causing that problem, I think, is really important. I think that in the presentation, there was a comment about the fact that our deliberations and our recommendations find their way into the budget review document. And I think that those were largely well received, if one considers that document this year. And I do think it might be worthwhile just to also have a quick read back of that budget review document. If I remember off the top of my head, about page 111 to 119, which gave some good stuff about, good comments about our deliberations from last year. And so, you know, having a format, now, the handover report from the first parliament was highlighted in both presentations, I believe. And of course, that is something that should guide us. But also, I think that Treasury's responses to our deliberations last year are also worth interrogating a little bit, so that we follow that golden thread and we can make sure that we, you know, don't just leave things hanging and leave things up to Treasury to deal with. And I really took what Mr. Dwamo said to heart, where he said, you know, you can't be, there's so many areas to focus, you can't focus on one thing all the time. And I agree with that, but where something is working, I think that we need to also make sure that we can follow through on that. So yeah, conditional grants, specifically, you know, agriculture, health, transport, education, police, that's where the money is going in provinces specifically. Let's do that. And then, of course, just going back to the local government and the provincial government, the oversight role issue that we have, you know, so we have some of these under Section 139 and Section 100 administration. You know, it would be useful, because most of the time that happens because of financial reasons. And it might be useful to maybe ask COGTA to give us a little bit of insight into the progress on some of those from a financial perspective. And so that we can also interrogate the viability of specific municipalities or provinces that are finding themselves in difficulties that have led them into a position of administration. And that brings me, Chair, to my final point that I want to make, is that I think, obviously, with the cooperative governance role of the NCOP, the Department of COGTA is perhaps one of the NCOP's biggest partners in terms of our role. And I do think that in terms of appropriation of funds to them, I do think that in terms of how they spend their money, where they're focusing their money, I think that is somewhere that I certainly would like to scratch around and dig a little bit deeper. And I'd love to hear from them, you know, if they believe that, and I don't believe, think, you know, every department wants more money, let's face it, but if they could help us by perhaps motivating or telling us a little bit what their challenges are in terms of fulfilling their mandates, I think that COGTA is probably the singular most important committee for the NCOP to cooperate with and to consider. The rest would then obviously follow from there, but I'd like to prioritize COGTA, a discussion with COGTA. Chair, I think that really is it, but I just want to congratulate the administration and the chairpersons as well. Let's do that for a change, and just say well done. I think the draft strip plan looks really good from my perspective. Thank you.
Thank you, Dennis. This is a day you certainly got up at the right side of the bed. First time in, 2.5 years? Well, wonders never cease. But I find it hard to thank you for being a good opposition member, Dennis. I wish I could say the same for you. I'm teasing you, Dennis. Okay, over then to Mr. Jutoy.
I just put a proposal in the chat that I think we all need medals and perhaps a certificate for good performance over the last year, but I'm going to change that proposal and say we need an increase as well, or a performance bonus perhaps. So I think we should motivate
especially
for that.
Especially for the chairs. Okay, right. Over to you, Fane.
Thank you, Honourable Chair.
Don't rain on my parade now, eh? Okay, go for it.
Honourable Chair, thank you for the opportunity. I appreciate the two presentations. I don't want to throw the cat in the chicken coop. Chair, I want to know, with regards to the oversight role that we as members of Parliament are playing, I mean, history has shown that state capture and corruption is deeply rooted in all institutions of government. We all are aware of the Auditor General's reports. We know what happened at SARS a few years back. But my question is with regards to national treasury. I mean, this is something that has never featured in any presentation that I've viewed. The way I see it, only the minister plays an oversight role over national treasury. And national treasury is the one that's telling us how much money is coming in, and in consultation with the governing party on various levels of government, then decides how this money must be appropriated to the benefits of the people and to the benefits of the country. Now, I want to know if I can maybe be informed, how would one go about to actually see if National Treasury is providing the correct figures? I mean, this is not something that's far-fetched, but I think this is something that needs to be looked into because of the fact that National Treasury is the only one that has eyes in the purse, that's seeing what's coming in and what's going out. And there's basically no external entity that is playing an oversight role over them. So if your opinion in this would be appreciated. That's all at this stage. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Barney. Simon?
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me acknowledge the presentation. My comment is on the presentation that says that has brought to our attention that it is about reflecting our performance. On the issue of public participation, I don't think, Chairperson, that we are, as a committee, we are really doing justice on public hearings, especially when engaging with the stakeholders. I believe that we don't give them enough time for presentation. Almost every year, we'll keep on apologizing to them about time constraints. I think that it's a high time that the committee should look into that and see if there's no way of maybe rectifying that to make sure that the stakeholders are provided with enough time for their presentation. That is my bite for now. Thank you, Chair.
So, Dennis, you want to come back in? I see your hand is up. Is it an old hand or a new one?
No, Chair, it's a new one, sorry. And,
fine,
and,
go ahead.
I apologize for that.
No need.
On what was said about oversight visits, etc., and perhaps that they could be virtual. I think that there is space for certain virtual things, and I think what Mr. Molitsani has just raised now is perhaps something that's worth considering is inviting some of our stakeholders for longer things, and I think those could be virtual. But certainly the other, like the visits to SARB, et cetera, I think that it's actually a little unfair to continue pushing this virtual meeting more and more and continue with it unabated. And I mean, we've seen Honorable Mama Rekhani's issues at the beginning of this meeting where, I always say she speaks whale, and anyone who's watched the movie Finding Nemo will understand that, when your voice gets dragged out by the system, and it's limiting, it's debilitating. I'm not sure that it's fair on members, especially those living in rural areas like myself, who have signal issues and constraints. And I'd much rather see, we've heard that we're going to be moving back into the house from April. And I think that in-person meetings and in-person oversight, and I mean, it's not as if we're going on a holiday junket to go and stay in a lousy hotel in Pretoria to visit Saab. So it's not a junket. It's actually the case of, I think that the relationship building of personal interactions is important. And I also think it's a lot more fair on members when we get to engage properly, because there's not technological issues that are hampering us. So thank you, Chair.
Anybody else? Particular ladies?
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning to the members and the staff, support staff, and everybody on the platform. Chairperson, I need assistance. I think the first presentation on slide 9, I might be the only one who does not know the COFI bill. What does it mean? COFI. I need to ask that to say it in full. What is this? I think also the both presentations, Chair, my apologies, I could not open my video, my connectivity or my internet is unstable because of the load shedding. Chair, I think both the presentation, they spoke about the international visit. And as appropriations, we have identified, I know Yolanda has been given a responsibility to look at which country can we visit and for what purposes. And I think in the near future, we will come and as appropriation to come and present to the committee and if check if the committee agrees with that. I know there was a fear from some of the support staff, but I told them that where it's allowed, because other committees already have started to their international visit, but we will not force matters if the committee feels we cannot do that. And also in 2019, taking from the Fifth Parliament legacy report, we have agreed on visiting, OR Tambo District Municipality, Roma? Is it OR Tambo?
Yes, Chair. There was going to be a follow-up visit on the OR Tambo District Municipality, but the committee held a virtual follow-up meeting, oversight meeting with the municipality. Okay. But if the committee still has an appetite to actually do the actual site visit, we will take a cue from the committee.
Okay. So I'm sorry about that, Chairperson, to talk directly to Mr. Lomo, not going through you.
I am deeply upset, deeply upset. I'm traumatized.
Sorry.
You're a co-chair.
Sorry, Chair. Can I continue?
Well, you're the chair. You must decide for yourself. Do you want to continue? You don't need my permission. Aren't you a co-chair?
Chairperson, you are chairing the session. Don't do that.
Oh, all right. Well, I'm not so formalistic. All right. Okay, co-chairperson, Dikeledi Mashlangu, chairperson of the Select Committee on Appropriations.
Thank you.
You have my permission. What does the committee feel? How many members for? Go for it, Dikeledi, please.
All right, Karim, Eunice, DM, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Yes. Thank you very much for acknowledging me, giving you permission. Thank you for thanking me for giving you permission. Go ahead, please.
I think, members, we need to do the physical oversight over and above what we have done or identified, as Mr. Loma has explained. If we need to find out from the local government or provincial departments where our intervention is needed, more especially local government, because that was our recommendation, that more money should be given to local government. And as we do that, maybe we must consider one
a rural municipality and one metro municipality. It will depend on the committee. So I really am for the physical oversight in the interest of following the money, because it is us who appropriate this money, give this money, sign off this money to this institutions. So we need to verify the value for money and not just rely on what we have been told, more especially on projects that we are told that are done, or even on the conditional grants. And I think the presentations are really giving us a positive vibe by appreciating or highlighting the achievements. Because I think as committees, we have done so much, but we still have a lot on our plate. But so we shouldn't be that much hard on us, and one has to appreciate the work that the committee is doing. And thanks for the presenters for highlighting those achievements by the committee. So I've spoken to projects, it's fine. On public participation, Honorable Chairperson, we've been talking about this thing of public participation and trying by all means to reach out. But maybe one needs to think out of the box. As a committee, we need to come with proposals. I know Honorable Maswanganyi in one of our joint meetings proposed this thing of local media houses, the community radio stations and stuff. We have done that before. We have proposed that before. But the thing is, our target, our audience, is the poor. Are we able to reach out to the poor of the poorest, who are in the deep rural? How best can we do that? Saying this, Honorable Chairperson, I'm agreeing with the proposal, but I'm also saying to the members, let's come up with proposals in terms of the physical way of or doable way of doing this public participation to reach out to the people. Because initially, we were complaining all the participants, the stakeholders were also complaining that they can't afford to fly to Cape Town, where we expect them to come and present. It's something that we need to look. But even if we use Zoom, the same stakeholders that usually come to Parliament, they are the same ones that are coming for presentations. And I've seen in the Finance Committee last week, is it last week or week before last, at least there's an improvement. Other stakeholders who have not been there before, they are coming up. So let's try to enrich our public participation, because this is the core. Some of the things we might go to projects and see them, but the end results or the people who are supposed to benefit from those projects or that those service deliveries that we have allocated money to are not happy. We need to find out if they are happy about the service delivery that we have allocated money to. I'll leave it at that for now, Honorable Chairperson. Thank you so much.
Thank you. So very quickly, I mean, other hands can come up. You know, I hear that, well, I know that committees were given 2 days. And when I saw the program, I sort of thought, 2 days, what are people going to speak about for 2 days? It comes back to a major theme of mine. I raised this in 2019 when we had the first workshop on the role of the NCOP, as I did the following year, or later that year when we had the second workshop, that, you know, it might help if we were clearer about the respective roles of the provincial legislature, the National Assembly committees, the finance and appropriate, let's say the finance family, and the respective portfolio and select committees of that particular specific area, say human settlements or water and so on, because we keep crisscrossing. And for example, we have a provincial visit, and I know that we're covering the same ground that the Provincial Legislature Committee covered 2 weeks ago. So we're doing exactly the same thing, maybe different areas. We tried to negotiate to change the theme, but it wasn't possible. So, you know, there's a broader issue here that I know most of us will not agree on, but hopefully somebody somewhere down the road, even after 2024, might pick up on this, and maybe the majority will agree. But, you know, the thing strikes you again, listening to our discussion and the wonderful inputs by the two content advisors. So the input is good, but these are the following things that strike me. I'm not saying we should have a full discussion on it. I'm suggesting that members think about these things over the period between now and the end of this term. So in our exit report, we might want to, if we agree, to raise these issues. If we don't agree, fine. I won't be around, hopefully, after 2024, but maybe somebody else will pick this up, those of you younger, and will be here. Now, it's basically about productivity. I think a lot of politics is about image and style, more than about content. That's major politics all over. You know, I think it was Blair that said, Tony Blair, hardly somebody I look up to particularly. But I mean, when somebody says something that's of value, you don't say because you don't like that person, you don't agree with that person, therefore you're not going to agree with what he or she or they are saying. So, you know, I think it was he or somebody, I can't recall, who said that politics is 70% style, 30% substance. So much is about also timing. So much about politics, as we all know, is how a person comes across, but how they convey themselves in the media and social media these days. So I don't think we should start with like things like we will do so many visits per year. Question is, what is our task, or what are our tasks? And then we decide what we're going to do. Secondly, we can do more than the basic routine things that we have to do, like pass the tax bills, pass the budget, MTPPS, any special appropriations bill, division of revenue bill, and appropriations bills. Those are non-negotiable, unlike other committees. We are not in the strict sense an oversight committee in the way human settlements is or water affairs is and so on. Also, we've got to ask ourselves, what do? We simply process the division of revenue and the appropriations bills. And we pass, obviously, the fiscal framework before that. We don't actually decide where the money should go to, and rightly so. We are three spheres of government. The equitable share that goes to provincial government actually is mostly for them to decide around how they distribute the allocations to health and education. Where we have a role, I think, is on conditional grants, because those grants are given for a specific reason and they must be used only for that. National Treasury monitors it, but that's the executive. Our task should be to focus on conditional grants. Here. That's our main priority. How is that being spent? So maybe you want to think about that. I don't know whether. Secondly, as has been said before, you know, we have a provincial legislature and we have local government municipalities. I have to switch this off. I've got a practical problem, but you can hear me. So you know, you'll find me again in a moment, but for now, I have to move because of a practical problem. Sorry about that. So basically what I'm saying is, we should focus on doing oversight in cooperation with the committee, the NCOP, that deals with it. So for example, if we are going to seek, let's say, a conditional grant implementation in a province, we should go with the committee in the NCOP that deals with that portfolio, as we should with the legislature committee that deals with that portfolio. So if we're going, let's say, to Gauteng, we have to go with that committee from that legislature, and we have to go with the committee from the NCOP, strictly speaking. Because first and foremost, it's policies that come. Then you decide, well, how much money you got for it? Well, the policy, implement these projects. For example, a project. This is the project that's needed, a big dam or something. And then you decide, well, how much can you give towards that dam and so on and so on. So the committee that deals with dams, that's water affairs, has to be there, both in the legislature and the NCOP. But fine, often we can't coordinate. Then the next point I want to make is that I think that we can't just say we're going on an international study tour, for example. We have to know what we're going for. So in other words, you will recall, Comrade Tikeleri, we did undertake a study tour in the last term. But that was because, and so did the NCOP, that was because we had a bill, set of bills, not one bill. In fact, the Kofi bill is the bill that's also part of this Twin Peaks, right? Now, that's a conduct of financial institutions. That's a very progressive bill in theory, because it will hold the financial institutions to account for abuses. And basically, there's further bills coming. Now, we were told by Treasury, in fact, Treasury itself said, you know what, we shaped our model taking into account the processes, the Twin Peaks model in the UK and elsewhere, because the UK, you'll recall, Comrade Chair, they said is the hub of the financial world. Well, it was before Brexit, it's slowly declining, but at that stage it was. So then we crafted a program. And we approached the NCOP and said, look, they're not going to allow us to go both to a developed country and a developing country, because it can't look at the UK all the time. What about a developing country with Twin Peaks model? Mexico popped up. So the NCOP went to Mexico. We went to the UK. You remember, Declare, you made it, I think, right? So other people couldn't come. And in fact, we used the report out of that and shaped various aspects of our bill. That's productivity. You're not just going on a study tour. Out of the study tour come concrete deliverables. We actually use that report quite a lot, as you recall. We sometimes refer to it and say, look, this is what they did and we adapted it. So I don't know, I'm not against this, obviously. I'm just saying that we just can't put international study tour unless we know what it is we're doing. So we look forward to hearing from yourself, Comrade Chair, and others about what that is about. Similarly, we can't just say we're going to do 5 provincial and local visits. We should know what it is. We should have a theme for the year and then target in that way. What I would suggest is that we be sensible also so that all of us can participate. Now, things are easing. Omicron has been, dissipated for now. But you would have seen in yesterday or the day before's paper, AFSA, its own actuarial scientists are preparing for a first wave towards the end of, for now they're saying towards the end of April into the end of the winter. So what we could do in planning this so that all of us can go, we are varying degrees of vulnerabilities. You could be having all your boosters and vaccines and but you're 66 with comorbidities and all that. There are some caution, as you know, the World Health Organization has to say. So I would suggest where we bring physical visits and to encourage all of us to participate, we target for the 3rd quarter. But then we have to, as far as possible, invite at the very least the relevant select committee on our side, NCOP, and we shouldn't go without the provincial committee being involved as well. They're the first port of call. I'm dealing with that issue, Comrade Chair. Since there is no hand up, and Mr. Dennis Ryder lamented that we're not here for 2 days, and we're a good, are we sitting till 1 o'clock? It's only 10:46, but Kochi, you can stop me at any time. So I think the other thing is, I can't read my own handwriting, Chairperson. Sorry about this. Just think about public participation. That's been a favorite hobby also of mine personally. I've done lots of talks about it and written a lot about it over the last few years. Well, since 1994, I happen to play a particular role. That's my major theme for 4 years. You'll recall from the Tikaleri. And I traveled quite a bit of this country. And I wrote a lot at the time. And I had the privilege and honor of chairing the Committee of Local Government when we processed the municipal systems bill. I think one of the most glorious pieces of legislation passed, not because of the committee, because the bill that came to us was such a high quality. Now, the truth is, basically, public participation is there in its most explicit, fullest form in the Municipal Systems Act. My own view remains that not 1/10 of it gets implemented in practice. And municipalities have wriggled around it. For example, if you say the public has to be informed, we never thought they'll just put up a little thing on a website that the most remote person in a municipality would never even dream of looking at or have the access to do so. And they say we consulted because you can't prescribe how you consult, right? Now, in the national constitution, it's clear public participation. And all the things that are being said by the new members have been attempted, as you rightly pointed out. You will recall, or Comrade Kirby weren't here. I don't think anybody in this committee was here. We fought and fought. Jeff Deutsch was the deputy chief whip at the time and insisted that it be in all 11 indigenous languages of Radio and so on. They said they can't do all, but they clustered, you know, the Nguni languages and, you know, Shibenda was obviously a separate language and Tsonga separate and so on. And then, you know, the Sisutu type languages, Tswana, we lumbered and so on together. So we clustered. And we did do that for a long time. It didn't necessarily lead to higher public participation. Then we fought for money, right? And now they told us some years later, they don't have the money. And really we're taking over the role of the legislatures, blah, 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 and so on. So there are practical problems, right? About ensuring more public participation. But I think we shouldn't just look at means and methods and ways. We should ask ourselves why this is the case. And maybe it's true. It's not about just simply access. It's also about what Parliament has become. In other words, people have lost confidence in us. They have no faith that if they come here, we will listen to them. And while I'm at it, Comrade Chair, you will know that we had a very bad experience last year in the appropriations. So something I'd never come across before. Because I have to walk out of the hearing and so on over the budget, and I actually half agreed with them, right? But that was really bad. And while as a committee we must take some measure of responsibility, primarily we didn't do anything particularly wrong. And with your permission, in fact, I put it to the meeting that we reach out to that organization and tell them, look, okay, we talk past each other, but what you're saying, we don't disagree with in principle and values. It's whether we can do that or not. And I don't know whether it was adopted in the minutes, but subsequently you'll recall, Comrade Chair, I wrote to you. Then I wrote to those people. And I said to them that, you know, after having spoken with you in November, early December, I found those people, and I wrote to them, I sent you the email, and said, look, let's move on from there. Don't give up on this parliament. Come back and present your case. And, you know, let's start an informal discussion. You'll recall at that committee, last committee meeting where we discussed it, and I think all parties said the behavior there was just unfortunate. I think they didn't understand the way hearings work. I have sent that to you, Comrade Chair. They said, okay, they'll think about it and come back to me in January. They haven't still, right? And you and I and other committee chairs have done a lot of work offline. We always reach out to people and say, don't give up on this parliament. If you give up on this parliament, you give up on democracy. But there is a lack of trust in us, Comrade Chair. A lack of faith in us. We are a responsible party, but civil society also are no angels. They are also partly responsible. As many of us have been saying, even the government, even the ANC leadership, we've all been saying in different ways, some more muted than others, that the state and the political parties alone can't deliver. And we accept it, we become increasingly weak, right? It is civil society that must play an utterly crucial role. And if we do not get them coming to parliament, we have to now always encourage them to do so. I do not want to bore this meeting. Over the last, since 2014, I have done this many times offline. And the responses are reflective, more to put it in a nutshell, of a lack of confidence in us. Yes, the opposition parties, Comrade Chair, they'll better us. Because yes, as a majority party, we are primarily responsible to ensure that parliament works. But they don't have a faith. They don't have faith in almost all parties. Really. And look at some of the surveys that are done. So I think you are right, Comrade Chair and others. We need to do more, but we need to be more effective as a parliament and so on. On the matter of visiting also, I've raised this in various forums in our party structures in parliament and elsewhere and with the powers that be on the NCOP side and one or two NAS people at the top there, that we should avoid feel-goodism, Chairperson, where you feel good, you know? You went out and you did a study and you saw and you're reporting back. That feel-goodism, you feel like you're doing your work. Feel-goodism is to see a project actually get implemented, the dam is finished, the people who've been not getting the water are now. That's feel-good. That's when you feel good at the end of a project. And let's be realistic, Chairperson. If you look at our program and our APP and our overall strat plan, it is very ambitious. Because we have standard things to do, we don't have the room of human settlements to get off and move around. And we all soon are going to be moving around again, right? So it's about productivity. Chairperson, in December, I was cleaning out my horrendously overfull study. I found a report. I almost, you know, my heart bled. I'm not somebody, I've got thick skin, okay? I'm not somebody who's like, you know, somebody who easily wilts. You know, I read that report. We visited, I would say close to maybe 40% of the municipalities in this country. It was 2003, November, December, I think it was. And we did a report that ran into, I think, about 60 pages. And then we're the first committee ever to do this. We printed it in a separate publication. We got permission from Nadine Schleck, who was the chief whip. They approved of it. We did 6,000 copies. We distributed to the provincial departments of culture, to the municipalities, to the NCOP. All members of parliament, NCOP and NA, got it in their pigeonholes. And we sent it to the banks, the institutions of Chamber of Commerce, Chamber of Industry, whatever existed, right? If you read that report, you will see that many of the things raised in 2003 about the state of municipalities, it's actually there in some form or another. Now, that report was lavished with praise because it was so consultative and it's printed in a nice colored form. You know what? When I look back at it, as the chair of that committee, and let me tell you, that report is judged by what happened since then. And that report was far below the value of the praises heaped on it. So I'm saying, as I said on Monday on Saturday to provincial delegations meeting, let's not try to do 20 things and achieve 3. Let's rather try to do 10 and achieve 6. So my overall view about our strat plan and APP, let's do fewer things, but let's do them better. In other words, when we have these provincial visits, right, I try to communicate, why are we traveling for 6 hours to one end of the province and then 5 hours again? Look at the amount. When instead, let's go the 6 hours and stay there in that rural area, then let's go to the next district, right? It's also a semi-rural one. And then maybe if we're going to a third one, then the traveling there is limited and the number of engagements are more. Then we go to another 3 municipalities next time around and look at this thing. But this is where we are. So in short, these are things that I know most of us won't agree. I have been raising this in some form or another for many years, but because we have a new crop of members, and because we have 4 hours, and it's not even 2 hours taken up, and I'm about to exit the chair at 11 o'clock, my friends, I thought I'll raise these issues, not for response necessarily. You know, if you want to say, hey, Eunice spoke for so long, I'll remind them. I gave Fanny half an hour, and I gave Dennis half an hour, and I'll probably myself just use close to half an hour. So as they would say, whatever this means, square, square. If they too didn't take the half an hour, and Simon Warefsan and Noto, nor did you, chairperson, don't blame me that I took quite a bit of my half an hour. And when I look at my notes, there's at least 4 things I can't recognize anymore, and so on. Finally, on OR Tambo, may I ask, chairperson, what is the productivity of this? Now, it's like mechanical. So the old parliament, thousands of years ago, finished in May 2019. So they decided they're going to OR Tambo. Little did they know that within 6-7 months of that, we'll have COVID, right? So you can't go there. Now, why are we obsessed with OR Tambo? Why can't we go to another municipality that's more urgent in need of attention? Unless OR Tambo requires, what are we going to go and observe there? We weren't even there. So what will we do? So they'll hack out the report, Esther and my friend Perelani. Then we will look at it and say, yes, 4 years ago, the COP came here, Jeff Weston. Now we are back. And so what? All we're going to see is that 4 years later, things are no better, if not worse. So why don't we choose another one or merely use the OR Tambo report of thousands of years ago as a base to look at what the needs are now. Let's consult with the mayor and the MM there and the speaker. Let's consult with the Eastern Cape committee and plan it properly and do it properly to avoid feel-goodism. It's about productivity, chairperson. Thank you. And I'm done, chairperson. It's exactly 10:59. I have the pleasure of handing over to you, and I shan't speak again unless I'm called upon by you to do so at the end. I won't be replying to colleagues because there's no need to. These are things to mull over, and if they want to slam me, please do. I'm cool. I can take it. These are just my views for what they were. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Karen. I think one has to agree or digest everything that you have said in collaboration with what other members have said. And if I may comment on the issue of O.R. Tambo, agreeing with you that we have made
it's 11 hours
a follow-up as we agreed in our threat plan, which was done visually. But is there a need to go there again? Hence, in my presentation or in my comment, I said we need to look at other, identify other municipalities that need our attention. I agree with everything that you have said. And can I find out from the members if they need to have the last bite, which will be 1.5 minutes at most? Honorable Dennis?
Thank you very much, Chair. Can I just maybe get a response to my comments on the Auditor General? I'm not sure if it's going to come from yourself or from the administration, but I do think that's an important matter, and it's something that I want to push on quite hard.
Okay. Yeah, I've tried to respond to your comment on the chat, and there's a laugh there because I'm excited about your proposal. I think you're on point, but I don't know how possible is that. Honorable Detroit, before I allow members of the support staff to come in.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Honorable Chair, I know that the item that I mentioned with regards to the National Treasury wasn't listed or indicated anywhere. I couldn't pick up feedback specifically to that matter. That's why I'm asking again with regards to National Treasury, except for the minister that's playing an oversight role. Are you or any of the other members in this committee aware of any additional oversight that's being played over National Treasury with regards to the funds that's coming in and the funds that's being paid out? I've never seen a balance sheet, if something like that exists, for National Treasury so that we can confirm that funds that they receive and funds that's being paid out tally at the end of the day. It's just a big question mark on my side, since the whole country has been affected by state capture and corruption, even SARS, that we do not see an indication of probes into National Treasury itself, or that no one in National Treasury were corrupted by events that took place or might still be taking place. I think it's evident, although it's of the utmost importance for us as parliamentarians in playing our oversight role to ask these questions. I know that legislation dictates that the Minister of Finance is supposed to play that role, but since it is evident that the ANC government and ministers might be was aware of what was taking place, with regards to state capture and the laundering of funds, etc., that one might must ask the question, what measures could be taken to ensure that this is not happening at National Treasury or didn't happen at National Treasury? Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you, Honorable Stewart. Honorable Karen, can I abuse you for your experience and being my comrade to try to speak to the issues according to your understanding anyway? But I think a select committee on finance is the one, finance committee is the one that is supposed to be playing an oversight role ourselves. I'm not sure if Honorable Karim will agree with me. He's the most experienced
comment? Yeah, Chairperson, you're right. I'm not very clear what Fani is saying, right? So obviously, at this stage, Fani, we don't know, unless Chair, you know, we don't know of any accusations against people within National Treasury. But if you do, can you raise it with the two chairs privately? And then we will discuss with you and then later the committee, because we can't release names and we can't deal with individual cases. We will have to write to the minister and DG and say there are these allegations against so and so and so on. From what I know, the only issue that's emerged in the public domain is, remember, Dikeledi, as far as I know, that's been cleared now. And it became very embroiled in the internal battles within the ANC. That was that whole project which was funded and didn't deliver and so on. It was referred to the public protector and so on. What was that one, Dikeledi? Is that the one you're talking about? Fani, what said that there was an integrated financial management system? Are you talking about that one?
Yeah, I see Honorable Dutoit's hands is up. He wanted to...
Chair, I'm not aware of anything that is corrupt that is taking place. I do not have names. I'm not the whistleblower. I do not know any whistleblowers. I'm asking the question. Since all the other departments, there's a line that's going through of corruption that is taking place. And the fact that so many entities are playing oversights over these state-owned entities, SARS, etc. But according to my knowledge, only the minister plays an oversight over National Treasury. So my question is, are you aware of any other institutions that's also playing an oversight over National Treasury? I'm just concerned. That is the reason for the question. That is the reason why I posed this question. I'm concerned, and I want to know basically if any other institution or entity is also playing an oversight over National Treasury. Thank you, Chair. That's all.
Thank you, Honorable Dutoit. Honorable Karim. Comrade Yunis.
Sorry, Chairperson, I'm having problems this
before, morning. No, sorry,
yeah, I'm here.
Before sorry. You come in, sure. Can I allow Honorable Ryder?
Okay. Please.
Chair, I don't want to usurp the chair's position or comments or anything, but I'm just maybe wanting to draw the committee's attention to, there's a monthly gazette that gets put out called the State of Budget that Treasury puts out, and that's released in terms of the PFMA, which does give an update specifically of what's coming in and what's going out. I'm not sure who specifically has oversight over that. I presume that, it's a select committee function, I would expect. And I presume there's an annual one as well. I'm not sure that it would sit with the, certainly not with the NCOP, but perhaps it is something worth investigating and coming back on. I'll certainly ask my colleagues in the National Assembly what they do on that. But yeah. It's quite an interesting read, once a month, State of Budget.
Thank you, Honorable Ryder. Honorable Karen?
Well, to the extent I understand the question, the two committees here, National Assembly and National Council, have oversight over National Treasury. Then NGOs do, and they monitor them very carefully, as do NIHAWU and other unions that are involved in that department. I don't know beyond that who's meant to have oversight. The other thing to remember is that we look at their budget and so on. But, you know, obviously, because we are the same members in the Finance and Appropriations Committees, we have limited time. We just can't do more than we do, you know, or maybe we can't. But for now, this is what we've had to deal with. Thank you.
Thank you, Comrade Yunis. Honorable Fanny, Deutsch, I think I also don't have an idea, except for the committees, if there's any institution that is playing oversight, except for the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation. But I think it's our responsibility to play that oversight over Treasury. I think we have the same understanding on that. Honorable members, can we then say that we agree with this report after engaging them? Esther, I mean, Phelelani Nkululeko and Lubabalo, can please one of you flag the agenda? The report, yes, Lomo.
Sorry, Chair. I was wondering if myself and Esther will be required to respond to some of the public comments that members have made, so that where we can provide clarity on certain issues, we can greatly do so. And where we need to do more work, we can go back and come back to the committee at a later stage.
Okay. I think it's only fair that we allow that. It was an oversight from me. And also, please consider not to take much time, but straight to the point. I'll start with Esther.
Thank you, Chairperson. I will speak only on two things. I see Mr. Ryder has responded to your question about the coffee bill. And just to say that if you can remember when we were processing the financial sector laws amendment bills, National Treasury made it sound like it was urgent and it will already come in 2021. So I'm just assuming or thinking that it will come through 2022. And the other comment that I wanted to make was on public participation. Just to say that when in the fifth parliament, when we were processing the financial sector regulation bill, instead of the stakeholders coming to parliament, the committee traveled to Gauteng and we met the stakeholders there because most of them were not coming from Cape Town. So that's another, obviously it may not work with the MPBTS and the national budget public hearings because of time constraints. But with other bills, it can be considered that we meet stakeholders closer to their areas. Thank you. That's just the two points I wanted to comment on.
Thank you, Esther. Mr. Lomo?
Yes, thank you very much, Madam Chair. I think there are some of the issues that have been Mr. Ranga raised an invited to present the information around local government. Chair, I think that's why we're making emphasis on our presentation that we need to strengthen that relationship so that we can make use of the report as part of the tools that has been on our disposal as a committee. That meeting can be arranged, but I would need to sit with my colleagues and see if in the program that particular meeting can be made available. We also have to take into account the limits that are posed by NCO programs in some of our committee activities that we would love to engage in, only to find that the NCOP has got other activities and other programs, and therefore we can't. So I think that we need to see it, my colleagues. But Mr. Ryder, but also note that the AG will not be presenting any new information. Hello, am I audible, Chair?
Yes, you are. You are audible. I can hear you. I don't know if other members, they cannot hear you.
Loud and clear.
Yes.
Okay, I think Mr. Ryder's connection has got some issues. Mr. Ryder, can you hear me?
Yeah, it's much better now, thank you.
All right, okay. Yeah, I was saying that the point I was making was that we will sit with regard to the AGS meeting that you've raised, and we'll sit with my colleagues and see if we can actually identify a slot where that meeting can take place. Notwithstanding the fact that NSOP has got a program that sometimes poses challenges around the committee activities. And we are mindful of the importance of that relationship. That's why we are making a point in our presentation. That relationship needs to be strengthened because the AG has got information that has been at our disposal that can be of assistance in our committee. But it's safe to say that whenever we identify departments that need to appear before the committee or municipality, we make use of that information even if it's not presented before the committee. The researcher does some analysis around the reports by the AG, and those analyses are shared with the committee via the secretary of the committee. Secondly, Mr. Ryder, the issue around the oversight meeting with the municipalities and local government that we are also saying it should be prioritized going forward is the closest sector in the community, in our communities, and where all public protests mostly and chaos is actually happening around service delivery and many other issues. I think it's a good suggestion that a meeting with the good performing municipalities vis-a-vis the poor performing municipalities for comparative purposes and also lessons that need to be drawn. Because what we've discovered in the past was the lack of a comparing of notes between spheres of government, where you find that certain departments are doing well and certain departments are not doing well. There we believe that there's an opportunity for those who are not doing well to learn from those who are doing well. And this is an input. We can couple that probably with the notion that the committee may want to have an oversight visit. We might as well probably include that as an oversight visit, take an oversight to a good, well-performing municipality and also to a poor-performing municipality and probably take along the municipality that is poorly performing into the municipality that is well-performing so that at least those lessons can actually be learned for the poorly performing municipality. I think it's an important issue. The issue around the oversight over national treasury has been covered very well. The Department of Cooperative Governance is the biggest partner of the committee. I think I agree with that. It's just an oversight that we could not put it on the report. But we thought that if we put it as local government will just cover all the stakeholders that falls under local government. The issue, the concerns around public participation, I think for me and for the Appropriations Committee, the issue of public participation is precisely guided by the Constitution, but also not only that, the operations of the committee are emanating from the Money Bills Act, where the committee has to fast-track the process of budget processing guided by the 10 frames that are outlined in the Money Bills Act. And that's one of the factors that actually might pose some of the limitations around the public participation. But for me, again, my personal view is that no matter how much time you can give stakeholders to actually make their submissions, but at the end of the day, if those submissions are not going to make an impact or make it to the report, or make it to the recommendations of the report, that particular exercise becomes futile. You can have submissions that are made through via email within the limited space, time space that we have, and those contributions make it through the report and through the recommendations, and they make impact. So the crux of the matter for me around public participation is the issue of making sure that whatever form of input that comes through the committee is able to be dissected and actually make it through to the report, given its relevancy. But one of the challenges also that we've picked up in many submissions that might have made in the past by different members of the community was the question of relevance to the bill that is before the committee. And we are of the view that there is a need for legislatures to actually strengthen the public education on communities around the budget bills. As to what is it that we call the Municipal Revenue Bill? What is the purpose and intent of that bill, the Appropriations Bill, and many other bills, so that when they make submissions, those submissions are actually in line with what the bills are actually all about, and we're able to take those into account. So that's the case of the matter for me, how committees takes into account those public submissions in compiling the report, which is the final product, and which is going to be adopted as a resolution of Parliament, and the Minister will have to respond to. Around the issue of the international visit, I think I agree with Mr. Karim that there needs to be clear objectives of what the committees are going to do in the international visit. What are the areas that the committees need to focus on? It cannot be just an umbrella or a generic kind of a visit. But that's why the term study tour is used, because the committee needs to study from its own counterparts in other countries how they do certain things, so that that can assist the committee in improving its own oversight work. The intention of study tour is to make sure that the oversight work of the committee is actually improved. There are things that you will discover in those countries that may not be applicable, basically due to the systems, differing systems that we are using in South Africa vis-a-vis those other countries. But I believe that there's always a room to learn. So I think that the issue of objectives is very important. I think that we are taking that point very much serious in it, just at all. The issue around, let me go back again legally to the issue of public participation, and also indicate that the issue of seemingly biased submissions that are made by those who have means to come to the committee is a real challenge. And as to how can that be mitigated to make sure that the committee, when it does public participation, it also reaches those that are in rural areas, those that are poor, those that don't have access to resources. It's something that the committee will talk about. And maybe it should form part of the objectives of the study tour. And maybe the committee can learn from other countries as to how other committees in other countries are actually dealing with this particular issue. The issue also of the limited time frames and so forth. The committee can probably learn also from other countries how the other committees. So there's quite a lot that we can affect to objectives. The issue around roles and responsibilities raised by Karim between the SOP members that conduct oversight in provinces and provincial legislature members that also conduct the same oversight. The chair, that seems to be duplicating. It's precisely because sometimes these two or these three spheres of government are doing things in silos. There is no talking to one another. So the missed opportunity there is actually collaboration, because the NCOP members, as delegates of the from the provinces to the NCOP, they're not only conducting oversight, but they're also representing the interests of their provinces into national lawmaking platform. So the collaborative effort is of paramount importance with the provincial legislature members when they conduct oversight, but not only the provincial legislatures, even with the councils on the ground, because if you strengthen that system, it actually start talking to the intergovernmental relations of the administration.
Are you still on the platform, Mr. Jomo?
Yes, Chair, I'm still on the platform. Just okay. Running through my notes, seeing if I'm missing anything. But did you hear my last point, Chair? My last point was around the roles and responsibilities of the NSOP members and provincial legislature members.
Uh-huh.
Get that point.
I didn't hear it. I don't know if other members have heard it because you were staggering.
I was breaking. Oh, okay. Sorry, Chair. Can you hear me now?
Yes, you are clearer okay. Now.
Okay. Now, Chair, on that point, I was saying, Chair, Mr. Karim raised a point, a concern around the role of members of the NSOP when they're conducting oversight vis-a-vis the members of the provincial legislature. We sometimes seem to be a duplication of the same thing. And I was saying to him, I was saying in response to that, Chair, I believe that the issue there is that sometimes these institutions, when they do things in silos. They're not talking to one another. And that's what makes it a complicated.
Okay.
But the missed opportunity there in that whole process, Chair, is the partnership, the collaborative work that can be forged by the NSOP member with the provincial counterparts, not only with the provincial counterparts, but also with the council member as well, because the service delivery takes place in local government. So even if you take, for an example, an oversight visit as a committee from the national parliament, the NSOP, to provinces, it will be important that the provincial legislature members responsible for that particular sector are also invited in that oversight visit, so that the collaborative approach and also the knowledge sharing will become a little bit enhanced. Remember that the sector committees have got knowledge, more knowledge when it comes to policy, the sector issues, the dynamics in the sector, which appropriation committees might not have. So that particular partnership might assist in enhancing the understanding and knowledge in that regard. So that's the point I was making, Chair, before I was breaking.
Okay, thank you so much. Are you done?
I'm not sure if you got my input around the study tour.
Yes, I did.
You did, okay, all right.
Other members, did you get that? I think the members have heard you there because you were clearer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Chair, with regard to Howard Tambo matter, the Howard Tambo matter, Chair, I think, Chair, I'm going to be guided by the members, but from our side, what we can do is to provide the necessary information to members. There are reports that we've generated from the fifth parliament oversight in Howard Tambo. There's also a report which was generated when there was a follow-up oversight meeting, which was done with the municipality. And Chair, I do get a sense that things up to now might not have changed that much. Probably they might have gotten worse by now. So, but we will also provide information on probably two other municipalities that members can look at as new proposed oversight visit municipalities, which might actually give a members a more scope to choose from. I for one also think that going back to our temple might be an overkill, because the committee has had an eventual follow-up meeting with Howard Tambo, and it's now the committee is on its fourth year. It has not done any oversight visit in other municipalities. So we will need to provide some insights and some information on other municipalities that possibly can be identified and visited, and couple that with the point that Mr. Ryder was raising with the poor performing and the good performing municipality. Thank you very much, Chairperson. That would be
thank you. On your last point, I think we when you make the proposal, we need to consider or take lessons from the impact that we wanted to achieve at OR Tambo, and or maybe propose a better approach as a result of the OR Tambo being or not having changed after our oversight, our visual oversight. We don't know what might be the problem. But also we have members from the Eastern Cape who on provincial weeks are identifying municipalities that needs to be visited. Maybe we'll ask the members from Eastern Cape to identify that municipality as one of the focus areas in their program for the provincial week. Can I find out from members if there's a consensus on the report, having engaged with the presentations and proposals?
Chairperson, can I come in, please?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, no, I support the overall strategy and APP, but just some things we need to draw attention to, playing the role of a co-chair in the sense of finance side. Well, the first point that, you know, Mr. Ryder raised, I think we should both make it clear to him that we share the same frustration. So, you know, he raises last year as well. And we did raise it, just to report back to him, you might have done it yourself, I certainly did, that the NCOP strategy meeting is held smack in the middle of the budget process. So they exempt us. But as the staff rightly point out, our strat plan has to be located within the framework of the NCOP strat plan, right? And but basically what happens there is they allocate 2 days to you. I cannot for the life of me, as I said, understand why we need 2 days. But anyway, it's this feel goodism in my view. Fine. The next thing to say also is, Comrade Chair, when we visit the provinces, we should also, where possible, have the provincial structures of CELGA come as well. If we're going to local government municipalities, CELGA in that province should be there. And as far as possible, we should encourage that. Thirdly, when we do oversight visits, when I think about, for example, there's some things you don't need to do. For example, I'm not sure what value there would be to go to Swane to see the Reserve Bank. I mean, like, what is it? We're going to see their building. So what? Unless we're having some confidential exchanges with them, you know. But if we're visiting a municipality and going to or a province to see if the unconditional grant is being spent together with the provincial legislature, that's fine. But to visit a building, I mean, really. I also do not agree with the view, for what it's worth, I mean, these are things I meant to say earlier, I don't think we should ever go back to like complete 100% physical, especially with the NCOP, if we're moving around. We should combine virtual and physical, but key and important parts of the program, we have to be there physically. Sometimes it's better to just do things virtually. I think that is the lesson that the world is learning, you know? And more than the NA, because we move around, you know, and as soon as, you know, hopefully, you know, after the fifth wave, if it comes, hopefully it won't, we'll have more space for that. On the matter of the AG, I think we must agree. What Dennis is saying is very sensible. I think that's a matter that appropriations will attend to. On the matter of the Ombud, I think in Kulaleko, you should engage now with Alan to get the Ombud date sorted out in the first 2 weeks or so of the next quarter. So can you discuss it, Ellen? I'll speak to Mr. Masongani about this. We need to put it on the agenda. But when we have the Ombud there, we should also have SARS there, National Treasury. We should do that. Then we also agree on things in our report. Just to remind members, when we agree, we couch it carefully. We say either or both of the committees, because it's often not easy for both committees to meet at the same time. But finally, to mention yet again, and Dikeledi will confirm this, you know, we are getting far less legislation this term by great measure than the last term. As I've told members, I can recall when we were fighting for Irma Zakele Shlope to remain with us, we motivated for why we needed a full-time content advisor. And Alan Wickham at the time, I don't know the figures, I've forgotten, but I think in 2016, we processed, I think, 600 and something, or 500, oh, 1 year was 600 and somewhat pages of bills, and the next year was about 500 and somewhat pages of bills or something. And that won our case for a full-time content advisor. So what I'm saying basically is, the NCOP had to deal with the same load. The bills are not coming through for a variety of reasons. But as we near the end of the term, you will see a flood of legislation coming. So while Esther is right to point to the many bills, and she's right to hint in a tone, if not in words, unless I misunderstood her, those bills all won't come to us. And if they do, we're not going to process them. The other thing to do is I've raised yet again, in the interests of the committee members, lest you think that in between committee meetings, I'm sunbathing here at the beaches of Mzondosi, I have raised again, twice, that the bills come to us too late, the tax bills in particular, towards the end of the year. And in fact, what I shall do now is raise it again. So I do my job. There's so much I can do and no more. I don't have any more power, which is what I also want to alert members. You see, there is a slight tone, if not in content, of a feeling that somehow, because we the finance committees, we are like, let's say, slightly superior to other committees. No, we're just another committee as important as we are. And we have to work with other committees on their line function issues and not take over them. So all I'm saying, colleagues, is that many of the issues that you raise, which are problematic, it cuts across political parties. I don't see, you see, the problem we have is that the Building for Money Bills Act is very clear. And you're not going to change this thing of the third week of the year or February or whatever for the budget, which means that the NCOP strategy meeting should occur before the budget is presented. And then they give you other reasons why they can't do it. But I don't think, Chairperson, other members of other parties cannot raise it with their respective chief whips. And I urge them to do so. We do our share. That's all I need to report back on. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Can I find out from the members that we are satisfied with the report after the engagements and the clarities and proposals? We don't really have to formally adopt the report, because this is our report from the strat plan, but we need to get an indication that there's a consensus, we are fine with the report as is or as discussed. Honorable Detroit?
Nothing from my side, thank you, Chair.
But are you fine with the reports, both reports?
Yes, Chair. There are a few things that I don't fully agree with, but we can proceed.
Okay, thank you. Honorable Ryder?
Thank you, Chair. I note you, you're a bit thin on support today, yourself and Eunice. Chair, yeah, I think similar to Fani, I think there are some issues that I still don't necessarily 100% agree with. I think that most of our issues have been accommodated, and I appreciate that. I think Eunice and I will always disagree on certain things. I do think that more in-person engagements will be useful. But I accept fully that sometimes virtual is also very useful to run. I think that where we are interrogating serious matters, I do think an in-person meeting has a better outcome normally, because, you know, people can't hide away and fake bad connections or or whatever, and it's a better mechanism to hold someone accountable when they're sitting in front of you in person. But, you know, we may disagree on that. That's fine. I think as a whole, this, and I said it before we even started deliberating, I think that the report has been fairly well put together, and I'm appreciative of that. And yeah, I feel we've been reasonably accommodating. I would love to have everything that I said taken on board. I don't think that's realistic either. So I'm comfortable. I'm sure Mr. Oakamp has got something to add as well. But yeah, I'm happy. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you, Honourable Ryder. Is Oakamp here? Honourable Oakamp?
Good morning, Chair. Yes, I am here. I fully concur with Honourable Ryder. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ntate Mletsane?
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm comfortable. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mema Marahan?
Ms. Mamarekhana had a problem with network. She was in and out, Chair.
Oh, okay. I saw the apology from Honorable Mkiva. He had to go and participate in another meeting. Who else is there? Okay, I think we are comfortable with the presentations, and I will request the support staff, Mr. Jomo, especially, and Esther, to consider the inputs and proposals put forward by the members so that we can improve on our presentations or our APP. Thank you so much for the good work. We really appreciate what you are doing. You have put much effort. Thank you so much. I'll step off this item and...
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you very much, members.
Thank you, you're welcome. Nkululeko, there are minutes. I don't know if you want to deal with the minutes.
Yeah, no, we'll be quick. 17th of February, I was the U co-chair there. Is there anything people want to raise on page 1 or page 2?
Can you flag them for Honorable Colin?
Yeah.
Yes, Chair.
In the meanwhile, we have it on our screens to save time. We have it on our computers. They were sent a few days ago. On page 1, presumably members have browsed through it already. So on page 1, have you got any issue while Intuleleko gets it on the thing? And page 2, I wasn't there, so can somebody guide us? Is there anything you want to raise on page 1 or page 2? Is there a mover, please?
I move, Chairperson.
Thank you. Seconder?
I'll second.
Thank you. The next one is 24th February, please. This is the ministerial briefing, right? So on page 1 is just, look at the staff and people present. Introduction, any comments? Ministerial briefing, what the minister said, and then the presentation concluded. If I had my own way, obviously I would remove the presentation was concluded, because obviously it was concluded. I mean, otherwise we'll still be sitting there. Members were given the opportunity. I have raised this before with the staff, and they're quite determined. Maybe they're terrified of their committee manager. So we have to say the presentation was concluded before the members were given the opportunity. Fine, I give up.
wasting words, but you know, this is the way it is. I'm powerless as a chairperson. Nobody listens to me. Right. Then the meeting was adjourned at 15:32. Okay. Move a second, please. Unless, yeah. Best, Fanny.
I'll move for adoption.
Thank you, Fanny.
Second, sir.
Both of you agree that the meeting, the input was concluded before the members spoke. Okay.
Hey, Mara, comrade, to carry.
No, but I mean, look at the wasted words. Unnecessary, really. I mean, really. I've read these things. Nobody wants to listen to me. You know, there's a myth around here that chairpersons have a lot of influence. Well, I certainly do. Nobody listens to me. Okay, the next meeting then is the one I have here. Number 3 is 4th of March. Is that right? Right, here we are. 4th of March.
No, I think it's the first chair. 1st of March.
Oh, sorry, the first, yeah, because I found that later on my... I should look at your wonderful guide here. Okay, let me go back. 1st of March, colleague. Right, here we are, 1st of March. Sorry about that. You can look after your wonderful guide on the sequencing. Okay, so there's endless participants there. Right. On point one, introduction. Okay, everybody's happy with the entire presentations. FFC deliberations. I hope you mentioned everything that Dennis Ryder said, otherwise he gets upset, even though his name is not there. Then he goes to his grandchild and shows his grandchild, look, this is what your grandpa said. Okay, so on these pages, anything comment? Any colleagues, anything to say?
Move for adoption. No?
Yeah, you have to move for adoption, since you're featuring a lot there. Seconder?
My second chair.
Okay. All right. 1st of March out of the way. Then it's 4th of March, right? Hey, I must learn to use.
2nd of March, chair.
Hang on. Yeah, but there must be a way. Intellectually, you should show me. Soften them. What's the word? Minimize them, right? Okay. So then you go there, and then I can't find them. So we are... 2nd of March, are we?
2nd of March, yes.
Yep, here it is. Okay. Now, this is a Wednesday. The meeting was held much to Mr. Dennis Ryder's distress on a Zoom virtual platform. Right. Oh, yes, there's all the stakeholders. I'll just add the word THE. The members had an opportunity. I'll send this to you. I made some minor grammatical changes, colleagues. There's nothing of substance, and I won't bore you. But if you want to check it out, fine. I'll just add a THE somewhere. Okay, mover and seconder.
I move, chair. I think I.
Thank you.
I'll second, chair.
Thank you. So now we go to 4th of March. Responses, anything on page one? Ooh, big lot of people. Page two, page three. We're on deliberations now, any comments? Can I read something quickly? If you look at line 1, 2, 3, I just want to draw attention of members to this, right? I mean, I think it's a very important point for us two committees on revenue. It says there, if you look at line 1, 2, 3 in bullet point 2, it says the member estimated that the potential die is missing, obviously, or that potential tax from the tax industry could be about 90 billion. Excuse me. It starts only collects about 5 billion. We're aware of this matter of the taxi industry not paying, right? But the figures are stunning. It's not for discussion. I'm just alerting people. I mean, I'm sure many of us didn't know those figures until we saw it here or heard it, right? Then bullet point 4. 1, 2, 3. I hate bullet points. We always number my stuff, but hey. Once again, who cares what I think? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Bullet point 6. I would like to add a line because that's what we did and that's what we have to do now. Between Nkululeko and Alan, Alan will be of help in Nkululeko. Can you speak to him? Can we get all the stuff that we've written to the presidency on this matter of the cards and any letter we did or didn't send? We've raised this before in Nkululeko. See, here's the thing also. We need to follow up. As excellent as you are in Nkululeko, we need to follow up. We say, okay, we'll check whether we sent a letter. Neither Alan nor you have done that. So find out if you sent a letter to Tito Mboweni, the minister at the time. And also, can we get all the stuff, pull it together, because now we're writing to all of them, the presidency and the minister. We put that in the report of finance, and you will recall one of you inserted in Minister of Trade and Industry. Oh, it was, what's the name? Noxy from the NA side. So can you put that there? That's what we agreed on. So I just put in, was agreed to follow up on this with the ministry and presidency. I think Noxy said it when we adopted the report. So that should be in the next, or is it this one? Yeah. Okay. So the next one. You see here also, the next one, I've put all this in tracking, right? So I'll send it to you now, Nkululeko. The next bullet reads, National Treasury was asked to explain the benefits of the decree to the government, right, from auctioning the spectrum, and if that will not be a challenge for the government in the long run, where monopoly might be created. I think is where the current monopoly, it's actually three, I think it's MTN, Cell C, and Vodacom mainly, but also Telkom Mobile, might be entrenched. So I've changed that to the current monopoly structure. It's existing. It can't even be created, right? So those are the changes I've made. There's nothing shattering there. It's just minor changes. So with those amendments, have I got a mover and seconder? Have we got a mover and seconder?
Yeah, Chair, I'm sure you said earlier on that you were going to be quiet unless you were called on to speak. But, you know, I'll note that and I'll move for adoption of the minutes.
No, but I'm correcting something now as a chair. In other words, it's a minute.
Pulling your leg, Chair.
Oh,
I'll
second that, Chair.
Second what? That this man is out of order? Or is this a fortune?
Okay, well, I heard your dog even barking at you today, Eunice. So, yeah.
Look, I deserve what I get. I have no sympathy for myself because I like needling everybody else. So when I get needles, so what? You must be able to take as much as you give. Although I often take more than I give, but fine, I'm cool. Now, you know, the next minutes, I mean, who can disagree with it, that I did open the meeting and I did welcome everyone present. See how friendly a chair I am. And I did table the report for consideration. Okay, good work I did, eh? I should get a bonus for opening the meeting. Big job. Welcome everybody present and tabling the report. I did three big things there. I need three performance bonuses. Okay, mover and seconder. Edo March.
I move for adoption, Chair.
Thank you. And for the bonus, I suppose, right? Okay, thank you. Very kind.
I'll second.
Okay. As far as I can see, we are done. Am I right? 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yes, Chair, we are done.
Okay, bonus for that too, right? Okay, Nkululeko moves it and Esther seconds it. Okay, thanks everybody. We shall see you tomorrow under a chairperson that is going to give us a hard time, unlike the current chairperson who's very easygoing. Okay, having said that, Dikileri, you can't respond, but you can bring the meeting to a close. Thank you, Dikileri. Bye. Not bye. Over to you, sorry.
No, you're correct, Chair. Thank you. Goodbye.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.